it's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Once upon a time, in a land far away, three men discovered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team with the ability to siege the bay.
You'll never make it out of the bay.
Give no quarter, and feed the fish with any enemy that takes the field during their quest to find the Lombardi Trophy.
Bucs win! Bucs win!
Join Craig.
And he walks up to me and he says, I'm John Lynch.
He is a monster.
That's what he was, a hard-hitting white boy that played safety, and he was something special.
Eddie.
He built the pyramid right in front of us and said, this is how we're gonna do it.
We gotta practice doing things right all the time. Little things, huh? Details.
And Zach.
Every day you build, you gotta build a foundation, man. That's what we're doing here.
As they take you on a journey discussing front office moves, game breakdowns, and interviews. So batten down the hatches and get ready to set sail. It's time for Buck.podcast. Arr.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay, fire the cannon, Bucs lead.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy High C. You know what today is. It's time for Buck That Podcast. Unfortunately, we couldn't come to y'all last week. I know the draft was, you know, a couple weekends ago, but due to some ignorant drivers, my boy Eddie got taken out. My boy still fighting with insurance adjusters and everything out. We about to have to put out some photos on milk crates and all that kind of stuff because my boy got hit by somebody, and now they dodging everything, and the insurance company and everything else. Dog, I got to get my boy Dog on the phone.
Call him up, man. We gotta get broke my record, too. I hadn't been in an accident in over 20 years.
Man.
Most importantly, though, everybody was okay.
Everybody was okay.
The biker is okay. Everybody's okay. Eddie's okay.
Eddie's okay.
Everybody's okay.
The last person on that list, the guy that hit Eddie's okay, so...
Except for my truck's not okay.
The truck's not okay.
My baby's not okay.
It will be okay.
From what you say, it's going to be okay. Fixed.
They're going to fix it, and they're going to get it back, run the tip-top shape. Silver's going to be back at it. High old silver away.
But we got the homies in here. You guys already heard the story with my boy Eddie. We got Zach up in here, who's literally probably running on freaking fumes right now after his...
I got a nice little bit of sleep this last week, okay. But it was last weekend. Yeah, making that trip up to North Carolina was kind of rough.
Well, plus that, and then you had the music festival before that, so you just been
it's been
nonstop editing.
But I'm kind of smoothing out, and I've got some time on my hands, so I'm not...
Make sure y'all need some photos or some videos. Y'all get at Nature Studios. Just letting y'all know. They do weddings, bar mitzvahs.
We haven't done bar mitzvah yet, but that was
quinceañeras.
Quinceañeras.
I'm sure we could. I mean, it's kind of like a wedding.
You do
prison
release parties, like when the homie gets out.
Facts.
If
you got some money, they'll be there.
All right.
I take pictures and video High C's feet if you hate me.
What about like private investigating? Like, you know,
they do music videos.
You go out there and get some pics and some videos on the low. We trying to
we'll keep them away from
surveillance.
That. We want.
I've always wanted to be in a private investigator.
That would be
though.
Pretty cool though.
I do pull have the camera,
right?
They've done a few music videos in their time.
Yeah,
a few.
We'll talk about that off air.
If you guys want to get your Brendan on like Step Brothers.
Okay.
Film Boats and Hoes Part 2. They got you. But let's get us some Bucs talk over here, man.
About that Tom Brady roast.
I have not watched it yet.
I didn't get a chance to see it.
All I saw was the clips.
I've
heard some snippets from everybody that I've talked to, though. Even one Johnny Christ, who's not like the hugest, you know, sports fan, he was like, did you catch that roast? I'm like, nah, I didn't catch it yet. He's like, it was actually pretty damn good. So I did hear about some snippets on the Dan Patrick show earlier. Shout out to my boy DP. And
not the DP.
Dude, they played a couple snippets.
I actually heard him on DP this morning as well.
Drew Bledsoe went in talking about,
I
got a couple things that you'd never accomplish. My boy said, be the first overall pick. And my boy said, celebrating the 28th anniversary. I'm like, damn,
yeah,
Drew.
Yeah. It's something about like roast. It's like a car crash. Like,
it is.
It's cringy. Like, you want to watch, but you don't.
But
it's
you,
like,
but
they go in, man.
But everything. What you got to understand, on a roast, it's just like, there's no difference from when we were kids. You know what I'm saying? Everybody here, I know, especially me and you, Eddie, we were minorities at our school. I'm pretty sure you went to at least like one Booker school before.
I didn't. No.
You didn't? Okay.
Me and Craig were standouts, bro.
Bro, if you didn't have a good roast game, you was just scarred.
Yeah, my roast game's probably not very good.
So, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, I grew up in a roast culture. You know, now they call it bullying, but, you know.
That wasn't bullying, man. That was a kindly time of passage.
Yeah, that's get some tough skin.
That was, it's, man.
It was a what?
Like a rite of passage, like okay, a time of passage. Okay. I said a time of passage.
Rite of passage? Rite of passage. But for real, though, when they have those roasts, you know they're going to go in on you. You got to have a good sense of humor. Because at the end of the day, if you legitimately can't laugh at yourself, can you even laugh at jokes, period?
That's right.
Because, I mean, like, imagine if they had one with Tiger Woods. You know they're going to bring up, like, all the hookers and all that shit and everything else.
Most definitely.
You know what I'm saying? But he should be able to laugh it off by now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's definitely some good roasts. I mean, every roast I've ever seen, like, usually they're on Comedy Central. This one was a Netflix special, but...
Oh, it's Netflix.
Yeah, it's a Netflix one. Netflix.
Okay. So, I noticed it was at the Forum in Oakland.
Yeah, apparently. So Netflix, apparently, from what I'm understanding, is starting to get into a little bit of some live stuff, events.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was actually live, but I'm pretty sure we can go on and watch it now.
I might have to catch that. Did you see the part where Tom Brady went up to Jeff Ross and told him to keep his fucking mouth shut and don't ever say that again?
No.
Oh, when he was talking about...
He made a joke about Kraft. Yeah, Robert about Kraft. Getting a massage. And Tom actually got up, went into Jeff's ear. You can hear him on the live mic. I don't know if it was one of those like Will Smith, Chris Rock incidents. Like kind of stage.
Get his name out your mouth.
He's like, yeah, don't ever fucking say that again.
About my daddy?
Yeah. Well.
So there is a line in some, I guess in some people's minds. Tom said, talk about me all you want. Talk about my marriage, but don't talk about Bob Kraft.
Well, and that's not the one who was on, supposed to be getting crucified anyway, so I understand it. And plus, it's a legal situation.
But that's the thing with roast, is like, a lot of roast is like, not so much roasting just the person who's getting roast, but everybody else.
Has to do with
it. I think because it was a legal situation behind it, probably why he didn't want it to be addressed.
Yeah.
Although he did make the comment about the Deflategate situation and talked about how allegedly the NFL spent $20 million on the investigation. He's like, hell, y'all could have just paid me that. I would have told you I did it.
I don't think anybody has known that information. Like, wow. That was like the first that we, like the NFL actually spent millions of dollars on that situation. What a waste of
They were talking about it on DP. They said that was their first time hearing it. So, you know, and Dan Patrick plugged in. If that's his first time hearing it, I don't think
you
that was ever
they
released.
Said about Aaron Rodgers and how he came on their show.
So, just to clarify, $20 million, you know, I'm not no mathematician, but I know last season we were talking about artificial turf and redoing the Buck Stadium or the stadiums.
That's an owner thing.
But that's an owner
I'm just
thing.
Saying, man, but the NFL, $20 million.
Could chip in.
Y'all could have chipped in with that $20 million and fixed the turf. I need to see y'all books.
For real. We need an accountant to check the accountant, you know what I'm saying?
But getting back to what I was saying about the Aaron Rodgers comment, how he said that he always overinflated the footballs and nobody gave a shit. And then all of a sudden Tom did it and the Patriots did it and it was deflated and all of a sudden it was a big deal.
Yeah.
That's why I don't buy into a lot of the stuff. They're just trying to knock them down.
I think that's what it was. I mean, let's be honest here. Have you ever tried to throw a flat ball? It doesn't work. I mean, maybe it was like slightly.
It was slightly deflated. So
he probably got a better grip. Yeah. But still, I mean.
I think a highly, like a super inflated ball gives you a better spin.
Well, it probably depends on the hand size too.
It could be.
And I feel like a overly
small,
deflated.
A small one, hand size, overly inflated would probably not be very good.
An overly deflated one too. When catching receiver wise, probably has got to be harder. I think.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's like the ball is harder, so it has bounce. Like it wants to bounce out the hands.
Yeah.
Man.
I don't know.
I think it was just a conspiracy because Brady was winning so much they had to find something to mess with.
That's what I think it is too.
Bunch of haters out there.
Haters.
That's right. He won one for us. So that's all that matters.
Yep.
He brought that culture back to the Tampa Bay.
Speaking of the culture,
and bringing it back.
We did make the playoffs last year.
We made it strong, too.
We were a smidgen outside the NFC Championship game.
We gave them a good fight.
Only problem is some of those teams that were fighting for that last year got better right along with us. We had a solid draft. We really did.
I think the Bucs had an A draft.
I've seen a lot of various grades through different, you know, media outlets. I have seen some A grades. I have pretty much a lot of B pluses, which is still right there. I would say we're probably a high B, maybe a low A.
Bucks bias reporters are saying A, but like national media is like
saying B plus,
stuff like that.
So I would say we're probably somewhere right there, and I think it's just going to depend on these draft picks. I have seen a couple people nationally talking about some of the draft picks and how some of them could be sleeper picks or they can be like the surprise of the draft type thing. In a perfect world, all of them would be hits, and you know, it would be just the magical season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But even if a couple of those guys live up to those standards, like some of the expectations, like Jalen McMillan, who was our third round pick, wide receiver, he's a guy that has some potential. He was injured his coming out of college, so last year's stats weren't as good as his junior year, but his junior year stats were freaking phenomenal.
More catches, more touchdowns than Roma Dunze, a guy who went number 9 overall to the Bears.
And
so,
speaking of, I'm glad you brought him up. Roma Dunze in an interview said, look, I may have had the stats. I may be the guy that everybody's looking at because of, you know, where I'm getting drafted at, and I'm that guy that's coming out of Washington right now. He's like, that wasn't my locker room. That wasn't my wide receiver room. That was his wide receiver room. He was our leader. So even if he's like 70% of Rome, but he has that leadership aspect behind him, man, we're in good shape.
I don't even think it's that big of a disparity.
I don't think it is either.
I think, like you just said, it could have been. That was their leader in the room. I think that four-game injury that he had really took him off the map as being one of those top wide receivers.
They're probably 1A, 1B in that
situation. That's the
only
reason why we're getting him in the third round like that. And I think we got a steal of a deal.
Steal.
Absolute steal. I mean, let's go ahead and say that was Carlton Davis' pick. So we basically traded
him for Carlton Davis.
For Carlton Davis.
Or
Tyke Speak. Smith.
And we got a lot of money tied up in our wide receiver room. Chris Godwin has had a little history of injuries. He's got banged up over the last couple of years. He misses some games. If we can't get him to re-sign with us or extend with us at a team-friendly deal, we quite possibly got a guy on a rookie contract, a third-round contract at that, that we can maybe use for a couple of years and use that money in some other situations to help the team.
Not to mention he also is predominantly a slot wide receiver coming out of Washington, and that's something we know that Chris Godwin does very well as
well. For a slot guy, he's actually kind of got some decent size compared. Yeah. You know, usually your slot guys are a little bit smaller, but I think he's like 6'1".
6'2".
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has a little size to him. He just naturally plays
good
the
hands
slot.
Too.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of tape where he's ripping the ball out of the defender's hands.
Yeah, so we got some really good draft picks.
Between Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Jalen McMillan, and don't forget about last year's draft pick, Trey Palmer. Those four receivers are top-tier receivers.
And even Devin Thompson had some flashes.
No, Devin Thompson is wrong. I mean, we haven't seen him suit up in the NFL, Jalen. But I could guarantee you that all four of those guys, possible five of those guys, are going to be breadwinners. Watch. Baker Mayfield is going to have a good year.
Even if our worst guy can get us 200 or 300 yards, X amount of catches, and maybe a couple touchdowns, that's huge. When you have guys that are like your fourth or fifth depth in receivers, still, you know, a few hundred yards, maybe a couple touchdowns, 25 catches, that's perfect. That's, you know, you're filling in for guys when they need a rest. You're still making some plays. Our play isn't dropping that far off in the offense. We're in a good situation. You know, we got Graham Barton for however. I mean, I was getting nervous. And then when JPJ, and I've heard a lot of things about JPJ. I know I was sold on him, but then some of the stuff that I heard about him.
Stuff about him as well.
I think I'm glad that we won Graham Barton. And I think that during the draft, because I think it was like the Cowboys or something like traded out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the Cowboys.
I thought the Cowboys were going to take him.
And then Green Bay was right before us. And I think that we really thought that
he was going to be gone.
He was going to be gone. And there's also been rumors that Jason Light was about to move up. And this is actually his first time
in 11 years
that he did not move in the draft anywhere.
100%.
And basically Green Bay called, like, and there's video clips of it.
I saw
it. Of the draft room. Green Bay calls out that pick for that tackle, and they just, you know, the Bucks were just like, what? Okay. Like, they didn't even waste no time. Big Bucks, no whammy. Bam. And they freaking put that, like, and it was funny, too, because if you're watching on TV, you know what I'm talking about. Because as soon as Green Bay announced their thing, you already seen Bucks got their pick in. Like, they were ready.
Bucks is in.
And I had
an odd pick, though, wasn't it? That Morgan pick from Green Bay?
It was kind of an odd
pick. That one in the Penix ones was, like, the ones that weren't very chalky.
But you know what? Here's the thing. With the grading of players and, like, who's the number one tackle, who's the number 15 tackle, you could be in there somewhere, and maybe the guy that they have ranked 13 fits what you need.
Yep.
But higher guys may be on the board. So with that situation, like, it could be anything.
There's always that team that always, like, reaches on said player, and Green Bay seems to be one of them. But I'm glad that the Bucks were able to get the guy that they wanted. Did you hear his stats or what they were talking about? His grade as a center is like the best grade. I forget what the grading scale was, but he's the best graded center since the 80s. Yeah.
He like could play perfect any.
Fight for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho.
Compared to Luke Getteke, in his first year, he did better.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, he did better.
I think there's an
for being changed that position, because Luke Getteke also went to a different position his rookie season.
Yeah, he played right tackle, I believe, in college, and then moved to left guard for us and didn't do very well at all. Got pushed around.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked about last year, the Bucks lacked that ass, that the thumpers in the middle to push the line around a little bit.
They got one in the
free agency. We got it right now.
We got one in the free agency.
But I look for Cody Mock to take that step forward, just like other guys in the past. A lot of expectations when a player comes in, especially a later round pick, they can't be expected to be a starter day one and to come in and be perfect and to be that all pro. You got to develop and to become the player that you know you're supposed to be. And Getteke's on that path at right tackle. We already know where Tristan Wirfs is at. Speaking of Tristan, something happened right as the draft started that kind of threw the extension to Tristan Wirfs kind of in the gutter at the moment for the Bucks, and that was Penei Sewell signing that big contract, now getting the highest paid tackle numbers at $28 million a year now. It was previously Laremy Tunsil with 25. Now they stepped it up. Usually you see like, what, 26? Like a million more or whatever. Now it's $28 million. What do you think? Do you think
Tristan Wirfs is going to get $30
million? Do you think Wirfs is going to be the first tackle at $30 million a year?
I think
or does
worth
he take that Bucks discount, that no state tax discount? You know, you take $25 million, you're going to actually probably receive more money than Penei Sewell because of the taxes and situations that you receive those benefits when you live here in Florida. So I don't know.
I think over the last few years, watching Jason Light and his team work magic, where they'll give them some kind of bonus, some kind of adjustments in that pay to make up for it not being such a high salary.
I think he's gonna. I think he's gonna break the banks.
No. Don't get me wrong. I think he's gonna break the bank. I'm not saying anything against that, but I think he figures out a way just to get that money. Not counted on.
Okay.
But I would give him $30 million. He's the best lineman in football, in my opinion.
What do you think, Heise?
I think with the way that our draft went, obviously Tristan Wirfs is going to get extended at some point. He's probably going to end up being the highest paid tackle. But there's just going to be a lot of movement. It's not going to be the same line as last year, even though we have some of the same familiar faces. You know, we brought in the two guys in free agency. We brought in two guys that have been, you know, pretty much one's probably going to be a starter. The other one's going to be, at worst, a rotational guy. We got two free agents that can play the guard or the tackle position. Haynes is if everything works out and Graham Barton's able to take hold of the center position, Hainsey's getting pulled out of the center position, which is going to be able to put him into his more natural position, playing guard or a tackle. Gedeke came on. You know,
you don't think they keep Hainsey as the backup?
They might
keep. They put Opeta over there at left guard.
I don't think Hainsey gets booted out of the starting five, though.
I think he's out.
Yeah, I think he is, man.
Yeah, who?
I think it'll be worse.
We'll see. Where would he be?
We'll see. Left side?
Barton, Opeta.
Well, that's the thing.
And Gedeke.
Opeta and Bredsen, they still got to prove themselves.
I think Opeta's a lot better than Bredsen is, coming from that Philadelphia offense. I think that was a line
there's
that
gonna
was
be,
stacked.
There's going to be a
I
battle
think
for that.
He was a guy that kind of played underneath the line that was really good.
There's going to be a battle for that guard position, I think.
I'm going to call it right
Elijah
now.
Elijah Klein might even have a position in
there. We don't know.
Here's how it's going to go. I'm going to call it right now. It's going to be Tristan Wirfs on the left. It's going to be Opeta, Barton, Mauch, and then Gedeke.
Okay.
That's the starting five.
You could very well be right.
That's the starting five.
I see that.
You could very well be right.
Let's talk about our second round pick, though, out of Alabama, this edge rush. We talked before this draft even started. What do we need? We need trenches. We need pass rush. I think the Bucs went out and did exactly that. We even argued for a half of a show about the Bucs needed a running back or wide receiver more and which was going to be which. You end up saying what? Second round?
I said third round.
Basically, it worked out exactly how we all talked about.
And I thought they were going to go Ray Davis. Like, he was there, and they didn't go Ray Davis.
Isn't that your boy's from Kentucky. Former running back? Yeah. So
he was there, and they went with Bucky Irving.
I probably would have been a little more excited about that. But let's get to the second round pick out of Alabama, this Chris Braswell. Braswell. I believe that's the pronunciation.
From Alabama.
From Alabama, he sat behind Will Anderson Jr., behind your boy that went to the Vikings. I forget his name. Drawing a blank. Just went there this year. The other pass rusher.
Dallas Turner? No.
Yeah, Dallas Turner. Yeah. So he sat behind them for a couple years, and then he got his start this year opposite of Dallas Turner. Had a good season. Three forced fumbles, an interception for a return. I was going to tell you this earlier. Interception for a return, he was clocked in at 21.8 miles per hour.
Damn.
Do you know you know what Cheetah was clocked in at? Like 22.5
or something. Fast 22.3.
For a linebacker.
That's a big dude that's running.
That's fast for a big boy.
He might not have that like elite burst off the line, but he's got some top end speed. When he gets going, he gets going.
That's almost that Derrick Brooks speed, huh? Derrick Brooks is fast, but I don't think
he's
he was that fast.
He's pretty fast.
The one thing I do like about this draft and that I'm going to give the Buccaneers some credit for, they brought in some SEC guys. You know, you got Braswell, you got Tyke Smith, who went to Georgia, mm-hmm. who our boy Todd, his son played there, so he got a chance to watch him a lot firsthand. So he's got a lot of, you know, knowledge about him. And from what I've been hearing, he's probably going to end up being like a nickel guy, maybe filling in for Jordan Whitehead or something safety-wise on like, you know, rotation or
because he's shown as a safety, right?
Yeah, but they're saying
he's a safety, but they're saying he could probably play. They're saying he could play nickel if needed.
Okay,
yeah, so we'll see. Cornerback ish,
like a hybrid,
yeah. Kind of. Yes, we got Jalen McMillan, who we've already talked about. Definitely, you know, a contender for possible steal of the draft. The biggest question mark on this whole thing. It's probably our fifth-round pick, Bucky Irving, which the Bucs really haven't been great historically picking, drafting running backs.
Supposedly, we wanted Marshawn Lloyd from USC. That was the pick.
And it could have been a scramble, and I'm surprised they didn't take Ray Davis.
Yeah.
He was still available, too.
He was still available. Who did he take? The Cowboys?
I think he went to Buffalo?
I think the Cowboys got Blake Corum.
Oh, that's right. They got Blake Corum.
No.
The Rams got Blake Corum. That's right.
So Ray Davis, I
knew it was another NFC team.
He went to Buffalo, I believe.
Ray Davis went to Buffalo?
I believe so.
Oh, that's a good look for him.
I believe so.
I think the Bucs took one of the other running backs. Who went before Marshawn?
Marshawn Lloyd?
Yeah.
Shit.
Marshawn Lloyd, was he the Tennessee guy or was he the Texas guy or something like that?
He was USC, transferred in.
Who was the Tennessee or Texas running back?
Jalen Wright.
That's, I think, who the Bucs took. Or not the Bucs, but the Cowboys. So, because those were two guys after Blake Corum got picked. I'm like, all right, well, maybe we'll get one of these two guys. And then they both freaking.
You wanted Blake, didn't you?
I would have liked to have Blake. I think he would have been more of a switch-up guy compared to Bucky Irving. He's a little bowling ball guy, but he could still catch out the backfield. He would still
supposedly
be able to.
That's Bucky Irving. That's Bucky Irving. To a T. Like, his measurables aren't great. Like, he didn't run a fast 40. I think he ran, like, 16th.
My only thing is I didn't see Bucky do it against Penn State like I seen Blake Corum do it, though. So
that's
we'll
true,
see.
But did they play Penn State?
They did.
No, they didn't.
No?
I don't think Oregon
that's
did,
That's the
no.
thing. Like, yeah, he didn't.
I'm saying he didn't have that game where he toted 35 and put on them yards.
I don't know much about Bucky Irving, but from what I've read,
highlights.
He's
he
that
solid.
Dude on the field, but his measurables, his size, and everything kind of hurt him. He ran 16th out of 20th running backs in the, like 4.45, something like that, real slow time.
Only so, time will tell.
Yeah, he's a guy that puts it on the field.
Mike Allstar wasn't the fastest guy.
Kind of reminds me a little undersized of maybe Ernest Graham.
Okay. Ernest was solid
Mr.
for us.
Preseason.
Ernest was solid for us, though.
Yeah, Ernest was that dude for sure, especially in the preseason.
Elijah Klein.
I'm hearing a lot about that guy.
Rated by PFF as the top pass defender.
I'm hearing a lot about that guy. In the draft? His interview.
So,
he said, I just like to push people around and hit people.
He did sound very cavemanish, and we know we need –
And we talk about that. You said it.
One thing about your offensive line, you ain't got a little toughness on there. You're gonna get pushed over. You need a couple manatee meat.
You need some dogs out there.
You need a couple guys with a little bit of edge on, a little chip on their shoulder. They ain't scared to push a couple big dudes around and move some space movers. You know what I'm saying?
Jeremy Trueblood.
Jeremy was like tall and lanky though. He was like
6'9". But he had that attitude. He was just out there. He'd be bleeding twice a game.
He was mids.
It was so funny. I want to throw something out there because somebody commented on one of your reels when you were talking about Baker Mayfield.
Uh-huh.
And Zach just reminded me of this when he was talking about Jeremy Trueblood. And like someone's like, I can't believe that people actually think 6'1 short. Like, motherfucker, do you realize like the average height of offensive linemen are like 6'7", 6'6"? So, yeah, if you're 6'1" and everybody in front of you 6'6" or taller, yeah, you're a little bit short compared to the motherfuckers in front of you. Like, is 6'1 short? Technically, no. But, like, if you're 6'1" and you play in the NBA, yeah, you're short. You know what I mean? Wemby is freaking 7'4" or something like that, right? So, I mean, if you're 6'1" in the NBA and the average height is probably 6'7", like, you're considered short.
You ain't average size, pimp.
Like, but it was like one of them things. It's like, you know what? I'm not even going to feed to this dude because sometimes it's like your boy Bill Engvall said, you can't fix stupid. And it's just Baker Mayfield, yes, by normal standards, isn't technically short. But behind those big old space eaters, you know, you got a guy, if you got a right tackle who's 6'9", and you're trying to throw it to your tight end over there, you got to be able to see that. And sometimes a guy who's 8 inches taller than you, 6 inches taller than you, might block your vision. So I mean,
you better learn how to jump throw.
Yeah,
for sure.
But the only pick that really kind of scratched my head in our whole entire draft, and it doesn't really even bother me so much because was the last pick was our tight end.
The tight end Devin Culp.
I don't why because he's undersized. He's the fastest tight end in the draft.
Not even that, but it's just I don't know. Maybe I would.
We like Washington players. Like he's
there was
the fastest
a run
tight end
on Washington
in the seventh round. I mean, I don't think that's. I mean, he's an athletic, very athletic tight end that is undersized. That's not going to be a run blocker.
So is Jeremy Stephens.
Half the tight ends in the league aren't very good at run blocking anymore. Like
I don't even care about the run blocking.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't even care
about
the blocking aspect. I just don't know.
Well, that's what they're saying about him, that he does not run block very well. He's undersized as far as everything, and he has a drop problem too.
Yeah.
Other than that, like he's fast.
That's horrible.
So what we need
but
him
he's
to
seventh
so
round. He's
it doesn't
a seventh
matter.
Round pick.
Yeah, but
if we would have picked him in the fourth or something like that, then I'd be like, fuck. But we had such a good draft that like
Bucky
Irvin, the
that's why
pick,
I'm not really worried about him. Like at worst, we have an extra body for like the practice squad or something like that. But I would just
we were a little hurting in the
I would have rather them pick like a cornerback or something
else.
Kicker.
We have like the third worst tight end room.
We do.
In the league.
We do.
Well, this draft wasn't going to fix it unless you're picking.
No, but we added something to it in seventh round. We added somebody that's
unless you're picking Bowman or whatever his name was
in
the first round.
That's
going
to come in and not even have to play a snap, but will be the most athletic tight end in the room. He's more athletic than Bo Keefe. Like, I'd rather have him than Bo Keefe.
Bo
Keefe's a blocker, though.
Is he, though?
I think so.
I think that's what he came in as. Like, yeah, he can catch a little bit out of the backfield. He's not really going to be catching the balls down the field. But he can run block, but has he been a good run blocker?
I don't think
he has.
We're going to find out. We're going to run some tape for next week.
I mean, our 3.6 yards of carry average last year would say otherwise.
Whoa, now you're digging deep. You can't blame everything on
blocking?
On blocking with Bo Keefe.
Well, like I said last year, and like I'm going to continue saying, the line was the issue, not the running back.
No, the line was horrible. And the they addressed line that.
Was the problem.
And even with the line being horrible, Baker Mayfield was still ranked 12th in the offense.
You don't like Kate Otten?
Number 12.
I do, but let's be honest. Like, yes, he's made some clutch catches, but he also drops a lot of balls, and he's not very good in contested situations. He's not the fastest. He's not the biggest.
I almost hate to say this.
He's average.
There's no camera break.
I almost hate to say this.
He's Christmas nugs.
But, like, we really haven't had, like, a true solid tight end really since, like...
Cameron Brate.
Cameron Brate, I guess you could say. But I feel like Cameron Brate...
He led the league in as
the
tight
one
end.
Year.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah,
but we've never really been super solid at tight end. I mean...
Since Gronk?
Maybe, like...
Gronk.
But Gronk, only we only had him for a year.
2 years.
Two years.
We haven't. Who are you going to say? Winslow? Though.
Winslow was probably like one of the last.
Stevens?
Because I mean, your boy didn't. Jeremy Stevens didn't do all that much when he came over here, though.
Definitely not Juice.
And
he
then,
sucked.
And then your. Yeah, OJ
not,
didn't really
not
do
Austin
much.
Not Safarian and Jenkins either.
Yeah, Jay had. That was a freaking.
He was garbage.
Mistake.
Who what's his name?
Dave Moore?
Dave Moore.
That was what, like the 90s?
Yeah, that was the 90s.
Dave Moore is probably your last one.
I'm trying to think. Like, have we had a decent tight end?
Tight end? Our history isn't really that great. Our tight end room hasn't been that great. We had a post motorcycle accident, Kellen Winslow, pre getting caught masturbating in the parking lot. I mean,
yeah.
Man, I wonder if that was from some CTE shit. We've never really had a great tight end room.
And Jeremy Stevens, he was a little off too.
Oh yeah, him and Hope Solo, his wife,
U.S.
goalie for the women's team. Man, they were a match made in heaven.
I'm surprised Netflix hasn't done a story on them.
They might.
Are they still going?
I don't know, man. Netflix, man. If you make that movie, hey, I only want 3%. Let me get a free membership for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look that up. The best tight end in Bucks history,
greedy.
Man. Because this is kind of racking my brain.
Bro, we've never historically had.
What's his name?
It would be nice to get that guy. Like
the best tight end is Larry Giles. Not Larry Giles. What's his name?
Larry Giles. Man. Shout out my dog, man. What are you talking?
You know what I'm talking about?
It is Giles, though.
Jimmy Giles.
Not Larry.
That's our best tight end.
Yeah, Jimmy
That's
Giles.
That's literally, and then Cam Brate in yardage.
Cam Brate?
And then
Ron Cam
Hall.
Brate.
When was Jimmy Giles? In the 70s, 78?
Hold on.
Late 70s, 76? Early 80s.
I don't know exactly.
Before all of us were born?
Let's
hey,
see.
My boy still got 70, those limos.
77 to 89,
see?
He played with the Bucks.
Ballin', boy.
Okay, here's the list. He has 4,300 yards and 121 games played. Cameron Brate has 126 games, so five more games than Giles, and has 2,800 yards, so a lot less yards. O.J. Howard, we forgot to mention O.J. and how big
no,
of a bust
didn't.
He was.
Yeah.
We said
y'all
we
said O.J.?
Juice.
Well,
said you called him Juice.
Oh, you called him Juice, okay. Yeah, he was a bust, man. I wish we would have taken Dalvin Cook with that pick. But anyway, Dave Moore, Jackie Harris. We forgot
Jackie Harris.
But this is how bad the room is, like or Bucks. Tight ends overall. Rob Gronkowski is already on the list at like 7th or 8th overall with yardage.
For 2 years.
Yeah. Alex Smith. Remember Alex Smith?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Like later. The other Alex Smith.
He's real smart. I think he's from Stanford or something like that.
The other Alex Smith.
Cade Otten's moving up the list, though. He's, what is that like?
He's 10th? Like 8th already.
He's like 10th on the list with 846 yards. We had Ken Dilger for a year.
Ken Dilger.
Tajay Armstrong's down here. Dallas Clark, we had him.
That's right.
A guy that I think should have been higher on this list, but I guess he really didn't get the ball that much, but was decent for us. Luke Stocker from Tennessee.
He was
a good running blocking.
Yeah, he didn't get that much playing time though, because he was he was behind Brate.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that's the last on this list, Anthony Beck.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I forgot about Anthony Beck.
Anthony Beck.
He only had 247 yards. Talk about a run-blocking tight end. Anthony Beck was
that guy.
That was
back in the Rydell Anthony days.
It was.
Damn. You're right. Our tight end room sucks historically.
Like, we've never had, like, I mean, you said Dallas Clark. He was somebody that was brought in, I think, during the Gruden era.
Yeah. He just got
it. We've never had that Dallas Clark, that George Kittle, that dude.
Kelsey or anything like that.
Yeah, we've never had.
I mean, Kellen Winslow, when he came in, he was supposed to be that guy for us. But, yeah.
Even TJ Hockenson. I mean,
I guess he did have a really good career with us, if you think about it. In 48 games, he had 2,300 yards and 218 receptions. So it wasn't that bad. Like, he wasn't terrible. Was he? Yeah, he was pretty terrible.
Yeah. Historically, yeah. we've been down, man. So hopefully that's something we can improve on.
We haven't been that solid in running backs.
I don't think
either.
Culp's going to bring us up any, but.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe one of these years we'll get us a good tight end.
Maybe next year.
Moving along, your boy Vita Vea coming in looking good, they said.
Yeah, trimmer, man. He's like 50 crunch, pounds. Huh? He's like 50 pounds light.
He's been hitting that crunch, getting them weights in.
He probably has, man, been doing his thing.
That'd be a scary thought. One thing, you know, us bigger guys, we don't really lose power when we get smaller. One thing that does happen is we become more flexible and more agile.
A little bit faster
on our feet.
Well, let's
right?
hope that's the case because we've relied on Vita Vea and his size since
he was always double teamed.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like. Is now that he's no longer, like, reportedly 370 last year.
Okay, so he's 310.
There's no way. He comes in 310, no way. There's no way. He's on Ozempic if he came in at 310.
I don't know, man.
All right. That's a lot of weight to lose. No, I'm thinking maybe he comes in at his true listed weight around 350.
340, 350.
320.
We'll see. But
30 pounds is a lot to lose. That's 50 pounds. That's a lot to lose, man.
We'll see how he looks. I mean, he leaner, stronger, hopefully, and hopefully be better off for him because he's somebody who's got dinged up a little bit. And
that's the key.
Losing
that's
some of that weight on them joints is definitely going to help. So
he's getting older. So, I mean,
he's like, what, 29?
He's getting up there.
Yeah, bro. He's going to play a smart, man.
And then, you know. One of the big things we did do free agency wise, probably the biggest thing we did free agency wise, was bring Mike Evans back. And it's looking like he's probably going to end up being a Buck for life. They're going to give him a couple of small, shorter term contracts, looks like, going forward. Because what 3 years is what we got him for this time?
I think he plays out this contract, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's it, man.
I mean, he's going to be 31.
Yeah. You know, I'm a fight to the death on this. Everyone always says, oh, these other receivers are the best, they're the best. But over the last decade, and the stat shows now, man, he has the most touchdowns and that consistent 1,000 yards receiving a season.
I think he's just underrated because he's a buck. If he would have been on any other team, I think he would have got
more. He drops a few passes, but at the end of the day, he is money. And there's been no other receiver in the league that has been as comparable as money to him.
Except
maybe Kelce.
First ballot, for sure.
I think, Kelce was the only other one who had as many 1,000-yard catching,
and even then, still he's a tight end.
Do you guys want the list of most yards for a player since 2014, since Mike came out?
Let's hit me with
it. I'm gonna leave that first player out because I don't think y'all ever get this player who's leading this list.
Okay.
All right. Let's start out with number. Let's just go top eight. So we got Julio.
Okay.
We got Cordarrelle Patterson.
Wow.
Since 2014.
Yeah, this is so weird.
I feel like Cordero's probably all-purpose yards, though. They're probably
I think they're doing all-purpose because Ezekiel Elliott made this list. And then you got Travis Kelce.
Yep.
Zeke with 11,500. DeAndre Hopkins with 11,576. Mike Evans with 11,687. Tyreek Hill with 12,354. And then the number one player on this list.
Adams.
No. I don't know how much I can trust this list.
Who's
now that I'm looking at? Davante Adams down here at 10,780. But this is supposed to be this StatMuse.
Christian McCaffrey?
No. Tyler Lockett.
Really?
Damn. With 12,525 yards.
Tyler Lockett's like that.
Sorry.
Oh. Sugar.
Sugar.
Sugar. It's all good.
You all right? You ain't going to seize out?
Nah, I'm good. Nah. A little high, but that's pretty normal.
What about touchdowns?
Since 2014, let me look that up real quick.
Man, I can't believe he's top five.
He came in top five, top six.
Most touchdowns since 2014. Let's go. Let's do six again. Let's go. Christian McCaffrey with 81, Zeke Elliott with 85, Tyreek Hill with 89, Derrick Henry with 93, Mike Evans with 95, and tied with Mike Evans. Davante Adams with 95.
So you touchdown getter.
I think the difference between him and Davante is obviously the 1,000-yard consecutiveness, and Davante did not start his career with 1,000 yards total.
Devontae's a little smaller and faster.
Yes. Not much faster, but
And yes, he was on
he's
a,
definitely smaller.
And he was on a little bit of a different team, too.
What do you mean?
Well, who did he play for?
Green Bay.
Exactly. Who Mike Evans? Who was with? James Winston?
Okay. I'll give you that.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, bro. Yeah, Green Bay Packers.
But I don't think Aaron made Devontae. Like, Devontae's been... He's been very good.
It helps, though. It helps.
Yeah, but then he goes to Oakland and plays with shitty quarterbacks, and he does the exact same thing. So did it really help, or was it just like...
But I'm just saying, what if we would have had Aaron Rodgers instead of Jameis Winston? I think that would have made Mike Evans.
Yeah, what if Aaron Rodgers was picked up instead of Cadillac Williams, and we had Mike Evans?
Bam. That was the same draft, wasn't it?
Same draft, bro.
Same draft.
It was the same draft. We talked about that.
Yeah.
They literally... Go Cadillac, and he was the third running back taken at number five.
Yeah, that's right. Ronnie Brown and.
And homeboy, what's his name? Benson. Cedric Benson.
Cedric, yeah. That was back when running backs like had like premium value.
Back when they used to mean something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now kickers get more respect in the draft.
Put some respect on my name, boy, like Oscar De La Hoya said.
What do you guys think about Devontae, though? Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Oh, definitely, man. He's
obviously, the only thing that really splits him up between Evans is those 1,000 yards and the fact that Evans won a championship. Devontae hasn't, and he's not going to.
What year did he come in the league? 2015?
Same year.
2014?
14. He's only played four less games than Mike Evans.
Damn. And how many more yards he had than Mike Evans? Like 400?
He didn't have more yards than Mike.
Oh, he doesn't have more yards?
He has like 1,000, 1,500 less.
Does he really?
Yep.
Damn.
He didn't start out like Mike. I don't think he had but like 600, 700, 800 yards his first season without looking it all up.
Well, no, Devontae Adams is a baller. Don't get me wrong, man. There's just something special about Mike Evans. And we got a chance to enjoy that greatness in one buck place.
No, nah,
I think Mike's underrated, though.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
No, I do too, man. And I'm excited to kind of see what we're doing this year. I think – who do you think the number one team in the NFC South is?
I think it's got to be the Bucs. I mean, I know there's talks about Atlanta and the Kirk Cousins deal, but good Lord, the way they handled that draft with Michael Penix, like – people can make all the excuses they want on why they made it that play that way. It just wasn't the right play.
Why would you draft a top 10 player that's not going to start?
Oh, man, we got some people chiming on the Facebook Live. My boy Jeremy G says, Adams is not a Hall of Fame, no championships. But I don't think championships really define the wide receivers like they do with the quarterbacks. I think that's a little bit more important than the quarterback market. And I think that the quarterback situation is going to change a lot with the way that it's more offensive and it's easier to kind of get those high numbers and stats. I think it is going to hold a little bit more weight where some of those guys aren't just going to get in because they don't have a championship. Like, I hate to say it, but your boy Matt Ryan and what's Chargers?
Phillip
Rivers.
They ain't going to make it
I
in.
I think Matt Ryan's got a pretty good
chance.
Not first, but he did make it to the Super Bowl. He did lose to Brady. He's got, if you look at his stats, he's top 10 in a lot of stats. So that's got to count for something.
Matty Ice.
There's a guy named Dan Marino that did make it to the Super Bowl his rookie year, never made it back, and is still in the Hall of
but
Fame.
But his stats were different, though.
But he was, yeah, no, but he right. broke records though.
Yeah, no, he, you're right. Yeah, he was ahead of his time.
He kind of made it to where you had to put him in there. And Jeremy G says Atlanta's going to win the NFC South. Wow, Cowboys fan over here.
Cool. I mean,
I don't think so.
That's cool.
It's a possibility.
I mean,
you never
it
know.
Is. I mean, Kirk Cousins is a great quarterback. Y'all already know how I feel about my boy Kirk. So
he's wearing a Kirk Cousins shirt right now.
He got Kirk Cousins draws on.
Get that I tattoo. Got a tattoo on the back.
I know he does.
Tramp
stamp.
him with his chains. Kirk. No, I love me some Kirk Cousins, and I think he's going to do well in Atlanta. I do say that he's kind of coming from a situation Vikings where he had more weapons. I think he was in a better offense.
I don't
he was
know,
in a better
bro.
Situation.
Falcons got some weapons.
Oh, they got do. Justin Jefferson? They got Jordan Addison?
They got Drake London.
They got Drake London.
They ain't
got,
Justin
they
Jefferson.
Got,
it ain't
they,
Jordan
Drake.
Addison.
They got,
it ain't,
they
it
got,
ain't Jordan Addison.
They got Core. What's his name? They Patterson?
They got your boy.
Kyle Pitts?
Kyle, the other boy. What's
he
his
had
name?
TJ Hockenson.
They got your running back.
He had Dalvin Cook. Like, come on. Like, he had a good situation.
And how come they didn't win?
I don't know. Do I look like a Minnesota fan? Defense? Hell, I don't know. The man's putting up historic numbers in Minnesota.
He can't, like, he can't get it done in the playoffs. That's what it is.
It's not Kirk. It's not him. Maybe we need to look at the 52 other players that play in the game as well.
Or the coaching. Who knows?
Or how about the defense or the coaching?
I don't think Raheem's going to get him there, though.
Like, I think if you were to actually look at his stats in big playoff games, maybe it wouldn't be so on Kirk.
You know what we do know?
Raheem, on
we know Raheem
Diggs,
Morris.
Bomb ass.
We know Raheem Morris, and I don't think Raheem Morris is going to be that guy to lead the Atlanta Falcons.
I don't know, man.
This
he's
is his
matured,
second
though.
Run. Yeah, this is his second run.
I don't know, man. He did a lot for us. Like he remember that Josh Freeman, that rookie year, we came in with the creamsicles against Green Bay. We had a winning streak going. Like Raheem had them boys rolling.
We'll see.
And they sucked.
And then, you know, it was just maybe a little too early. What was he, like 35?
It was the pills.
36.
For Freeman.
It was, man.
He was too young, man.
My boy wanted the Adderall all the time.
Yeah.
He wanted to get his Eddie Murphy on.
He had
party
a bad hand dealt to him. This is a better hand, I think.
We'll see.
I believe.
Hey, then the Saints. Didn't the Saints didn't they get drafted?
What's the running back's name over there, Bijan?
Everybody besides us. Huh?
What's the running back's name? Bijan or something like
Bijan
that?
Bijan Robinson. That's
yeah. Bijan Mustard?
Yeah, basically.
They got some people over there. They got some pieces.
They do. I'm just saying what he just left Justin Jefferson. He's about to reset the wide receiver market. They don't have that.
Well, they don't.
Now that will he bring these guys
they
up?
They could have had it.
Will
but they chose
bring
Mike
Drake
Penix instead
up to that level of elite wide receiver or tight end? He might because they didn't have shit for a quarterback.
True.
So now that they have a quarterback, you might see a better play out of those players, but I still don't think it's Justin Jefferson. I still don't think it's TJ Hockenson.
We'll see.
Stephon Diggs. I mean, he has some weapons.
We'll see.
In Minnesota. We will see. I do think Atlanta is the team to beat in this NFC South. I thought the New Orleans
Saints
had a great draft. I thought they had a great draft, but still.
Who did the Saints
comes
take
back
first?
Down to
they
that quarterback
your,
play.
I don't know who they took first. They got your boy Cooper.
No, the
nope,
Eagles
the
took
Eagles.
Cooper.
Oh, the Eagles.
They got your boy Kool-Aid.
That's what they got. They got Kool-Aid. Oh.
And he fell, too, the second round. Like. There are some players that we were talking about, you know, the JPS or whatever.
JPJ, yeah.
JPJ and Kool-Aid that we thought would be going a little higher. That
we knew it was going to be a little bit of a weird draft.
Cooper Jejean, he
slid. You know, another
pick
that
you know?
I was surprised that they went with? Joe Milton and the Patriots.
I don't like the Jalen Polk pick.
They picked.
Jalen Polk was third on that depth chart behind Adunze and McMillan until McMillan got hurt. And then he comes in and is that player. For us to get McMillan in the third round and then for them to in the beginning of the second to get Polk, man, I'd almost rather have McMillan.
Yeah.
I don't know what Derek says about it. I haven't heard his opinion.
I don't think he really liked that pick. I forgot who he wanted,
but I'd be pulling my hair out as a Patriots fan the way this team drafts.
Yeah.
And brings in players and the lack of bringing in players. Like you're going to have a rookie quarterback. What did they do in the offseason to make that team better on offense? They had the same pieces in place that Mac Jones had.
Yeah.
And that was a failure. So how is this going to go any different?
We'll see. The good thing is they got a new coach, so they got
it
a little
better
time.
Be like that DeMeco Ryans effect. I'll tell you that much.
We'll see. Only time will tell.
Yep.
Any final words before we get out of here?
Shout out to doing a good thing in life, man. And hopefully, you know, my truck gets fixed quick, and the guy who caused said accident does his due diligence and takes a call from his insurance company so they could fix my truck faster.
Yeah, man. That sucks about
that
your
truck. That does
suck. Man. I'm just glad you're okay and everybody's okay. Shout out to D Money. Shout out to Derek, though. Had a little golfing expedition yesterday.
Oh,
that was
man.
Fun.
I heard about that.
Of course, like 2.5 months off the course, I still come back and whoop these boys.
Really?
I'm pretty sure I did what Derek said otherwise.
So you and T Snow won?
Huh?
You and T Snow won?
No, we didn't do
teams. Oh, I thought y'all were doing teams.
We played a foursome. We had a foursome.
He made it seem like it was going to be him and Bob versus you and T Snow.
That's what we thought we were going to do because Tony was talking about, oh, I think we can beat these boys. Like, I was like, Tony, I haven't been out on the course in like 2.5 months. He's like, man, I've been stroking the ball good. I think we can beat him. I was like, what part of like I haven't been on the course don't you understand? Like,
so,
I have not
so basically
played.
You were scared and you guys didn't do the teams.
No, I wasn't scared. We just never started betting.
But then you just said you spanked everybody.
I don't know.
Should have had faith.
The
in
front nine was better. I was winning the front nine. I was up like 4 or 5 strokes on Bob, and then 2 or 3 on Derek. And Derek might have got me on the back though.
Okay.
But no, it was a good round of golf.
Where'd you boys play?
We played at Lakewood National.
Nice.
Very nice. Funny story. out there last time, not this previous time, but the time before that. And I'm like, Derek, man, that looks like the old ball coach, like Steve Spurrier. I'm like, damn, is that Steve Spurrier and his wife? Like, the hat, the hair, like, my dude looked like Steve Spurrier.
Was it?
I don't know, but I came in this time, and I started talking to my guy up at the T-Box. His name's Bo, and I was like, hey, like, does the old ball coach have a membership here? Like, does he play golf here? And the guy started laughing. He's like, no, but his doppelganger does. He's like, dude, he gets harassed about how he looks like the old ball, like the whole 90s hair. Steve Spurrier with the bowl coat, 90s
That's
hair.
Funny.
He got the visor and everything?
Oh, man, yes.
That's funny. Yes. That's hilarious.
So shout out to the doppelganger, colors? Man.
Shout out to Steve Spurrier's doppelganger. And with that being said, man, y'all have a great week. And we'll be coming to you guys again probably in a couple weeks. We're gonna wait. We gotta wait for some stuff to happen. But this has been Buck That Podcast, and we'll be with you throughout the off season. Peace.